Once Upon a Tune.
There's a land where the young in heart can dream their dreams forever. Set a course on your fancy's chart and let's go there together.
The Columbia Workshop presents something new in American radio. Once Upon a Tune. A program for all the young in heart, no matter what their age may be. The fourth chapter in Columbia's book of radio cartoons is The Sentimental Locomotive, a tale told in the words and lyrics of Ray Darby, set to the lilting tunes composed and conducted by Morris Certain.
Once upon a time, there was a locomotive named Hubert. There was nothing fancy about Hubert. He wasn't huge and noisy and full of skyrockets and smoke. He was just a plain, medium-sized locomotive. Hubert wasn't very smart either. You see, he started to work when he was very young, so he didn't have much schooling. But he was strong, and he was a willing worker. So they gave him jobs pulling freight trains loaded with cows and crates of eggs and ordinary things like that. But Hubert didn't mind. He was an unusually good-natured locomotive and not over-ambitious. They'd hitch on his cars and Hubert would hunch his shoulders, let out a great big puff of breath, and tug for all he was worth, like this.
Huff, 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 huff.
Oh. I'm a locomotive and I roll along the rails. I am not considered clever, but my muscle never fails. Though I'm hauling mostly pigs and hens and implements and cattle, I can huff and puff and whistle, I can clink and clank and rattle.
With a huff and a puff and a clink and a clank, he stops for a drink at the water tank.
Then he huffs and he puffs and he switches his tail,
and he rolls away along the shiny rail.
I'm a locomotive who can pull 100 cars all the way from Massachusetts to the moon or to the stars. I can creak and roar and rumble, but I never, never grumble. As I roll along, I sing a song about the shiny rails.
With a huff and a puff and a clink and a clank, he stops for a drink at the water tank.
Then he puffs and he switches his tail,
and he rolls away along the shiny rail.
Now, there was one thing about Hubert that I nearly forgot to mention. Hubert was probably the most sentimental locomotive in the world. If he saw a field of daisies growing beside the track, nodding their pretty heads in the sunlight, Hubert would slow down and gaze lovingly at them. And if a lumbering old mother cow happened to get on the rails in front of him, Hubert would slam on his brakes and nudge her gently to one side. Yes, he was certainly a sentimental locomotive. In fact, that was the cause of all of Hubert's trouble. One afternoon, Hubert was tugging a load of cars along the track, humming softly to himself as he tugged, when all of a sudden, he saw another locomotive coming down the track towards him, mincing along the rails that ran right beside his. Hubert let out a startled puff of breath.
Puff!
The other locomotive was the most beautiful thing he had ever seen. She was small, dainty, slim, shapely. The smoke curled delicately from a stack in the cutest curls. Hubert stared, pop-eyed, and his heart began to thump. The closer she came, the prettier she looked. And the prettier she looked, the more Hubert's heart thumped. Just before she passed him, Hubert gathered his wits enough to say,
Hello.
But he wasn't sure if she heard him or not. The only thing he was sure of was that she was without a doubt the most charming thing on wheels. When he got back to the roundhouse that night, Hubert was talking to some of the boys about it.
Yep, I just looked up, and there she was, dancing along the track as purty as a picture.
Hey, what's that you say?
I say she's purty, purty.
Purty? I've got no time for purties. Where's she going to be? At the station?
Listen to old 97, would you? He's so old he can't raise enough fire to boil a cup of water. Besides, he's been deaf ever since the big wreck.
That must have been some wreck.
It sure was, Hubert. He was going down the grade, making 90 miles an hour, when his whistle began to scream.
Hey.
Oh, never mind, 97. So you saw her too, did you, Hubert?
Huh? You mean you know her, Oscar?
Her name's Fifi.
Fifi?
That's it. I've seen her lots of times.
But Fifi, what kind of a name is that?
It's a French name, Hubert.
Ain't no French. It's a brass rail. Needs a little polishing, maybe. But don't you fellas go and
say
things
now. We were talking about you, 97.
Yeah, have so got a crew. Best darn crew in the whole railroad.
I said we weren't talking about you. Yeah, Fifi's a French engine, Hubert. She came over here from France about a year ago.
What'd she come over here for?
Well, they brought her over for some kind of a demonstration. Wanted to show us fellas the kind of locomotives they build in Europe. Well, then we got short of engine power, and there weren't enough of us to haul the freight, so they put Fifi to work.
They did? It's a shame, that's what it is. Such a pretty little lady engine. I'd sure like to meet her.
So would I, if I didn't already have a wife and four little midget engines.
Gosh, I wonder if I'll ever see her again.
Sure you will. She's been on this run quite a while now.
Run a mile? Sure. I'll run a mile with you, Oscar. Been feeling mighty spry these last few days.
You didn't hear what I said. I said...
Who's dead? All I need is a few patches on my boiler.
Oh,
that's all.
He's hopeless. But as I was saying, Hubert, Fifi started on this run last month. She's been... Hubert.
Huh?
Are you listening to me?
Huh? Oh, sure. I'm listening, Oscar.
You got an awful silly look on your face, Hubert. What are you thinking about?
Fifi.
That's how it was with Hubert from then on. He couldn't get that beautiful little French engine out of his mind. He thought about her all day as he pulled his load of cows or chickens across the country. And when he curled up in the roundhouse at night, he dreamed about her. Poor Hubert. He had fallen desperately in love with Fifi. Several times they passed each other on the tracks, and Hubert would muster up his courage and blushingly say...
Hello?
And Fifi would coyly reply...
Bon matin, monsieur.
And Hubert would look puzzled and say...
Huh?
But by that time, Fifi would be 100 yards down the track, and she would just flirt her caboose and giggle. And of course, Hubert couldn't understand a word she said. By this time, Hubert was so madly in love with Fifi that his boiler registered danger most of the time, which is not a very good thing for a locomotive. Oscar noticed it and said...
Hey, I'm going to move across to the other side. Hubert's liable to explode one of these days.
What's more, Hubert wasn't getting enough sleep at nights. He would lie awake in the roundhouse for hours thinking about Fifi and the cute way the smoke curled from her smokestack. He would toss and turn... And he began to grow pale and thin because he wasn't eating his coal at mealtimes. Old 97's ears may have been dull, but his eyes were sharp. He said to Hubert one time,
"What's eating you, young feller? You ain't been yourself for weeks and weeks."
Huh? Oh, I guess I've been working too hard, 97.
Can't you tell? Hubert's in love.
Who give him a shove?
I said Hubert's in love. Love, love, love with a little French engine, Fifi.
Fifi? Why don't he fall in love with one of them there sensible little yard engines?
Oh, never mind. You wouldn't understand.
Who says I wouldn't? What's the matter, boy? She turned you down?
Not exactly, 97. I don't understand what she says. That's the trouble. Every time I say hello to her, she answers me with some queer words. Sounds like one of these here foreign languages.
Fifi speaks French, Hubert.
Oh?
That's why you can't understand her. You'll just have to learn French, that's all.
Me? Learn to speak French? Gosh, it's taken me all these years to learn to speak English so good. How could I learn French?
I know how. Ever been in Montreal, Hubert?
Montreal? That's way up in Canada, ain't it?
It ain't so far. I've been there lots of times. In Montreal, they got all signs up all over the place. French signs. You get to Montreal and study some of them signs, and then you can talk to her. Used to try and figure them out myself when I was there before my accident.
Ah, there's an idea, Hubert.
Gee, you really think I could do it, 97?
Well, there's no harm in trying, young feller.
Thanks. Maybe I will.
Hey?
Oh, forget it. Why don't you go up there, Hubert? Sounds to me like the old boy's got a good idea.
So one day, Hubert went to see the superintendent. He had to muster up all his courage, for the superintendent was a very big man in the railroad, but he was a fair man, too. And when he saw Hubert standing there, twisting his headlight nervously, he said in a kindly manner,
"Well, Hubert, what can I do for you?"
"Sir..."
Hubert began. Then he began again.
"Sir, I want to go to Montreal."
"Montreal? Canada?"
"Yes, sir."
"Whatever gave you the idea of going all the way to Montreal, Hubert?"
"Well, you see, sir, if I go to Montreal, I can learn to speak French."
"Well, now, that'd be fine, Hubert. To my knowledge, we haven't got any bilingual locomotives in the service."
"No, sir."
"But on the other hand, Hubert, while I admire your desire for self-improvement, we haven't any particular need for a bilingual locomotive just now."
"But all I want to do is to learn to speak a little French, sir. You see, there's a girl."
"Oh, so that's it. Well, Hubert, that puts the matter in an entirely different light, doesn't it?"
"Yes, sir."
"Fifi?"
"Yes. Fifi."
"I thought so. Well, now let me see.
I've always done my best, sir. I may not be very big, but I've always done my best. I'm a reliable locomotive, sir."
"Indeed you are, Hubert. And I'd like to arrange this little matter for you if I could. Let's see. How it happens that I've got 16 cars of pigs and sheep on the siding destined for Montreal."
"Oh,
think you could handle it, Hubert?"
"I'm sure I could, sir. I'm in good condition."
"Then the job is yours. Now, it won't be easy, but I think you can be trusted. Good luck to you, my boy."
"Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. I'll do my best. You can have confidence in me, sir."
So Hubert went away practically bursting with happiness. And the next day he got hitched up to the 16 cars of pigs and sheep and headed for Montreal. It was a heavy load, but Hubert was so lighthearted he hardly felt it. He pranced along the track, taking the turns on two wheels. Next to Fifi, I guess that trip was the most exciting thing that ever happened to Hubert. He saw so many things to get sentimental about. There were beautiful green forests.
Oh.
And sparkling lakes.
Oh, my.
And there were hills that taxed his strength to the utmost.
Oh, my goodness.
He saw different kinds of birds that sang lovely songs.
Oh, my goodness sakes.
And bustling big cities and peaceful countryside.
Oh, my goodness sakes alive.
But Hubert never forgot the main purpose of his trip. And as he rolled along, he made up a little love song. I don't think the song had any special name, but it was a love song, so we'll call it Hubert's Serenade. And it went like this.
You have to know the language if you want to speak of love. It isn't just the moonlight or the twinkling stars above. You have to tell her plainly in a way she'll understand how much you hope she'll want to share the future that you plan.
I want to run on your track, baby. I want to woo with you. You'll be my little queen with eyes of red and green. I'll always flag you right on through. I'm gonna build a little roundhouse, baby, beside a water tank for three. 'Cause pretty soon we'll hear some tiny wheels, my dear. So won't you woo with me?
It was a long, hard trip, but Hubert made it. When he finally puffed into Montreal, he was pretty tired, and he needed some attention. One of his wheels had developed a small flat spot, which made him limp a little. So they took him off to the roundhouse, and the men got busy on him. They gave him a good rub down, changed his wheel, and oiled his bearings. But all the time they were working on him and talking French to each other, Hubert was carefully studying the signs on the wall. It was just as old 97 had told him. The signs were written in French, and there were many of them.
Voy es lente, lente voy. Gosh, this is harder than I thought.
Hubert stayed awake all night, memorizing those signs. When morning came, his eye was red instead of yellow. He looked as though he had been up all night with the boys, playing pitchy-coley in the roundhouse. But Hubert, by that time, could speak French like a native.
Hello, Fifi. Voyez lentement? Me too. I en avant you very much. Gosh. Why, that's wonderful. Listen to me talking French.
Well, the journey home wasn't nearly so difficult. They loaded him up with 5 box cars and 2 flat cars, and Hubert whizzed home as fast as he could go, saying the wonderful words over and over in his mind. Back in the roundhouse, the boys were very curious, of course.
Say, that's great, Hubert. So everything worked out just the way you hoped it would.
Hmm? Yep. Yep, sure did, Oscar. You ought to hear me talk French.
Wish I could get up to Montreal sometime.
I've been all over the world, practically.
Well, you know how it is. When an engine gets a home and a family, you don't have much chance to travel.
Gravel? By golly, I never will forget the time I hauled 40 carloads of gravel from Duluth, Minnesota to Des Moines, Iowa.
Travel?
That's what I said, ain't it?
I wish he'd try to listen once in a while.
I've been to Nashville. Ever been to Nashville, fellas? It was on the Great North of Nashville that I had my wreck.
Guess I'm the only bilingual locomotive on the line, Oscar.
Well, you can talk to Fifi now. Pretty soon you'll have it all fixed up. Who's going to be your best man, Hubert? Me?
Yep, I guess so. Gee, wonder if I got enough nerve to propose to her.
Oh, sure you have. We'll have a wedding under the trees. Over yonder on the spur track.
Have it on his track, not her track. You've got to be boss, Hubert. Mark my words. I let my first wife boss me around. It's no good.
Oh, gosh, fellas. Wait till I see if she'll have me first. Right now, I'm kind of tired. Now, I got to get some rest first. Tomorrow, we'll see what happens. Tomorrow.
The superintendent was so pleased with the way Hubert handled the Montreal trip that he promoted him to hauling people instead of pigs and chickens. He increased Hubert's coal ration, too, which meant that he could now support a wife comfortably. So Hubert was all set. And then he met Fifi. She was standing in a siding, reflectively puffing out cute little wisps of smoke. When Hubert came in sight, she glanced away coyly. And then looked up at him with what was unmistakably a love look. Hubert's heart began to thump. He gasped.
Golly.
He had to slow down to go past the siding, and anyway, he wanted to make sure she saw the passenger cars he was pulling. He was proud of them. He rang his bell slowly and romantically. And when he spoke to her, he poured his whole sentimental soul into the beautiful French words.
Remouvez la grise excess des yeux et la roue.
The look of amazement that spread over Fifi's lovely face was very gratifying indeed. So Hubert added huskily,
Des France du flâneur.
Ma foi!
Hubert was so pleased with himself by this time that he just had to say a few more words. So he murmured in his most romantic manner,
Ne pardez pas votre temps.
But the results were even more surprising than Hubert had expected. Fifi gave a little scream and jumped clean off the track. The The last Hubert saw of her as he pulled away around the bend, his darling Fifi was lying on her side by the water tank while the steam hissed out of her boiler. Hubert could hardly make the rest of that trip. He was so worried. He knew that French people are supposed to be temperamental, but he didn't see how merely falling in love could make a locomotive jump right off the track, even a French locomotive, and a lady one. When he got back from his trip, he learned to his horror that Fifi had been sent to the hospital with a broken axle and a bent headlight. Hubert went to see her in the hospital. He brought along a few lumps of special coal he had found and polished until they shone like jewels. Fifi was lying there looking very pale and wan. Her axle was in splints, and they'd had to put a new whistle and a new smokestack on her. Hubert swallowed.
Hello. I brought you some coal, Fifi.
The way Fifi was looking at him, Hubert couldn't tell if she was angry or not. It was a sort of reproachful look. He said,
"You want this nice coal, Fifi?"
"Thank you."
Hubert was so glad she'd spoken to him that he didn't even notice she had answered in English instead of French. He said,
"Gee, Fifi, I'm sorry you jumped off the track. I didn't mean to do it. I didn't know you'd get so excited."
"Oh, it's all right, Hubert. It really wasn't your fault."
"You mean it? Hey, Fifi, you can speak English."
"Of course, Hubert. They put an English whistle and an English smokestack on me."
"Well, gee. Well, gosh."
"But I'm disappointed in you, Hubert. I thought you really cared for me. You were always so nice, and every time you passed me, you used to smile."
"Cared for you? Oh, Fifi, I fell in love with you the very first time I saw you."
"Did you really?"
"Sure. Only trouble was, I couldn't tell you because I couldn't speak French."
"You could have told me other ways, Hubert."
"Huh?"
"You don't always have to put love into words, you know."
"No? Well, gosh."
"Thanks for the call, Hubert. It's lovely."
"I thought you'd like it."
"Avelope?"
"Oh, thanks."
"Why did you say those nasty things to me, Hubert?"
"What nasty things?"
"The things you said when you passed me on the siding."
"Those things? They weren't nasty things. I went all the way to Montreal to learn some French words to say to you, Fifi."
"That was sweet of you, Hubert. But why didn't you say something nice?"
"But I thought I did."
"First of all, you said, remove surplus grease from axles and wheels."
"Did I say that?"
"Of course you did. And then you said, loitering is not permitted."
Is that what I said?"
"Yes. And then you said, don't waste time."
"Oh, golly. Is that what I said?"
"So now do you see why I was so upset? I expected you to say something nice to me. And instead of that, you tell me to remove surplus grease and to stop loitering."
"But I didn't know, Fifi. Honest, I didn't. I thought it didn't matter as long as it was French."
"That what you learned in Montreal?"
"Sure, that's what they had on the signs in the roundhouse."
"Oh, Hubert."
"But I didn't mean it that way, Fifi, honest. I went all the way to Montreal just so I could learn some words to say to you."
"Oh, never mind, Hubert. I don't care, really."
"Gosh, I'm sorry, Fifi. I guess I'm awful dumb."
"No, Hubert. You must love me if you made that long trip just for me."
"I'd go anywhere for you, Fifi."
"And I love you too, Hubert."
"Fifi."
"And anyway, Hubert, it really doesn't matter what language you speak. Don't you know that love has a language all its own? You can say a whole sentence with just one look."
"Like this, Fifi?"
"Oh, Hubert."
"Oh, Fifi."
And so that's how Fifi and Hubert finally got together. They lived happily ever after, too. For as soon as Fifi was out of the hospital, there was a wedding at the roundhouse. Oscar was best man, and old 97 read the marriage ceremony. And now, as Hubert prances merrily along the track, teaching the twins how to take corners on two wheels and how to have an appreciation of the beautiful things in life, you'll often hear him singing Hubert's Serenade with different words. They go like this.
Don't need any language if you want to speak of love. Just leave it to the moonlight and the twinkling stars above.
For they will tell her plainly in a way she'll understand
how much you hope she'll want to share the future that you've planned.
I want to run on your track, baby. I wanna woo with you. You'll be my little queen with eyes of red and green. I'll always flag you right on through. I'm gonna build a little roundhouse, baby, beside a water tank for three. Cause pretty soon we'll hear some tiny wheels, my dear. So won't you woo with me?
About the sentimental locomotive. Chapter 4 in our book of radio cartoons entitled Once Upon a Tune. Ray Darby wrote the story, Morris Certain drew the musical illustrations, and the radio edition, under the auspices of the Columbia Workshop, is produced and directed by Carl Beyer. Next Saturday, we'll present the adventures of the final bong in a radio time signal. Bong gets fed up with the same old routine and decides to take a holiday. Now you can see from the following song just how Bong feels about all this.
There ought to be an 8-day week for people in a rut. Cause everyone who smiled at me would love a chance to strut.
Tune in then next Saturday at the same time and find out what happens when the sponsors discover one of our bongs is missing. Chapter 5 in the series, Once Upon a Tune.
There's a land where the young in heart can dream their dreams forever. Set a course on your fancy's chart and let's go there.
Saturday night is good listening with CBS, so stay tuned in now for Larry Lesueur and the latest news, which will come to you over many of these same CBS stations in just a few moments. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.